So there's been a rumor going around that we died, and I want to let people know that it's not true. We're just dead inside.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean,
You're
we've been a bit AWOL.
a bit AWOL.
I don't even know what how I can explain it. It's mainly your fault.
It's mainly my fault. No, it was
Dylan
just
decided to go and get COVID.
it was I really wanted that. I infected myself. I went on Grindr, not a gay man, just with the intentions of getting the variant. That's why I felt the need to be like, not a gay man. But no, it was just a series of unfortunate circumstances that we took a week off because Sebastian went home to Brighton. We literally had every intention of probably about 2 weeks ago. We're going to record, like, we're going to record that morning. Woke up and I was so fucking sick.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I had yet, but like, I had a sore throat, so it was like I couldn't speak. Like, I couldn't have done the podcast. It would have been sometimes being sick, you can kind of have a
Oh, I'm
crisp,
glad you
smooth
didn't
voice.
try and power
Of
through
course, yeah, 'cause then you would have gotten it, yeah. But yeah, basically, it ended up being COVID. And like, you know how, like, we've all tested positive for COVID before, but like, you have like no symptoms, you just have to isolate because you tested
it.
positive.
Yeah.
This was COVID.
Yeah, you
Like, I
felt
was
it.
incredibly sick. You know,
Oh.
aches and pains, bed bound, fucking coughing like madness. One of those sore throats that you like had to jump every time that you
Oh
swallow.
man, it's like you're scared to swallow.
Oh yeah,
Like,
literally, you're. I always am, but yeah, literally, you're fucking. You have to eat because you're
have to,
hungry, but you're
like.
fearing eating. Yeah. Oh, it's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
Those things that you take for granted. Then the very next day when you can like swallow normally again, you're so fucking grateful.
Yeah.
It's something you take for granted so much. But anyhow, guys, thank you for your patience and welcome
We
back
appreciate
to,
it.
yeah, welcome back to Dylan Sebastian Have a Simpsons podcast. The podcast myself and Sebastian here do as a diss track against Four Figure Discount.
Yeah,
Yeah. A diss
that I
podcast, should
we were just talking about before we started
say.
the podcast about how like it's so annoying because I've decided this month that I want to eat healthy and exercise and stuff. And
Yeah.
what did this month decide to be? McDonald's Monopoly. So, you know. And I can't lie, I've had a few McDonald's, maybe more than I should
Oh, really? You actually did do
because of the
it.
Monopoly, you know.
You can still do the Monopoly and get like a wrap, right?
Yeah, you get free food.
Yeah,
It's
so you
you
can.
always get like apple pie. I like the apple pie though, so I don't mind. But it's always like apple pie or fruit bag.
Yeah.
I wonder which one I'm gonna get.
They're always too hot, the apple
Really?
pie. I always find them burning. I always think of like 5 minutes. You like it hot?
Yeah.
Some like it hot. Fair enough. No, I always find it too hot. I know I've never been a big fan of the apple pie, to be honest. Oh, popular opinion. People in London seem to love the apple pie. Ireland, pretty unanimous opinion that it sucks.
They released a few months ago a chocolate pie,
Never had it,
and
yeah.
I thought, I mean, because I'm not major on chocolate, I like
Yeah, you're
just
not.
standard chocolate here and there,
Yeah.
but I'm more of a sweets guy. But
I love chocolate.
I'm like my problem with chocolate is sometimes I think it's just unneeded, so it's
Yeah.
like, oh, this item, but it has chocolate in it, and it's like, well, I just want that. I don't want the chocolate
Yeah,
in
you
it.
don't want
It's
sex with
even though I
chocolate.
like chocolate, like, don't
Yeah.
get me wrong, but I actually tried it, the chocolate
Good?
pie. It was actually unreal.
Okay, it did look nice, to be
It was
fair.
actually unreal. It wasn't just like this pastry of chocolate inside. It like
They
had
actually
a
put the work
texture
in.
to it, and it felt it, the chocolate was different. It was
Yeah.
really
I'm
nice.
surprised because I'm not a fan of their.
It was like half mousse, half
Right.
sweet. I don't know. It just was the right
I'm
texture.
surprised I'm not a fan of their chocolate milkshakes. But you're saying they're.
They're all right.
Yeah. I think it's
Yeah.
the worst of their milkshakes. But you're saying the chocolate pie's pretty good. Maybe I'll give it a go
Oh my
someday.
God, it's so good.
Oh, nice. Okay, high praise then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember they used to do cookies?
I think they still do.
Yeah, but they're like in a package. Or they used to do fresh cookies.
Oh, mad.
Do you know? Maybe. I'm sure if they did in Ireland, they did it here. I remember they were like hot. And you'd bite into it and it was like the chocolate was like
Oh,
melted. Dude, they were
wow.
so nice. I'm sure somebody who's listening to this remembers what I'm talking about.
It's kind of weird. It feels like a psychopath thing to do to buy one of the bakery goods from McDonald's.
I know
Even
what you
though they're
mean.
there, it's like, who actually buys the muffin and the donut and
I
stuff?
mean, we have a friend who like exclusively buys the apple
That's so
pie.
sh I mean, the apple pie is fine,
Sure.
but it's
Oh,
the
you mean
actual like
the
chocolate
yeah.
muffin and
In France and probably a few other places, they have like McCafe. Yeah. It's not bad because they have a wider range. They have like macaroons and stuff, and they are nice. And they're like far cheaper than you'd get a macaroon for any place else in France. So yeah. You'd go there. I love macaroons so much, but they're such a fucking...
They're so sweet.
What's the word?
I can have one or two, and then I'm like...
Well, I mean more so my complaints that they're just so goddamn expensive. Mm. That like, fucking, you could pay like fucking $3.50 for one of those, and they are delicious, but like, it's such a fucking luxury item because it's nice for 5 seconds. You're like, oh, maybe that wasn't worth,
yeah.
You know, £5. Yeah, ridiculous. Anyhow, we're talking about all the sweet treats. Let's jump into the episode.
Speaking of sweet treats.
Hey, today we are covering Family Feud.
I don't know why that was relevant. But...
It's the Simpsons. Simpsons is always a sweet treat. Today we're covering Family Feud, the 18th episode of the 34th season. And let us just jump right in. No couch kick or anything. Just bang right into it.
Yeah.
Homer's taking back to a baseball game. They want to witness Chuck Wilder break the record for the most batters knocked unconscious. They try to sneak into the front seats, but the whole stadium has been blocked up by all these girls on their phones. Homer wanted to get back so close to the carnage that he would remember this moment for the rest of his life, but they're shot by all these girls who are like trying to get lipstick off their teeth. And we see that the Jumbotron gets taken over by the Ashley Starling Murmur Nation, and they all just immediately give a standing ovation, and I ended up just doing a rhyme there. Homer's like, why are you all saying at the same time? That's not how the wave works. You gotta undulate. And the song Glitter starts playing from her new album Squeeze Play, and it was just so accurate that like Ashley Starling is such a pop star name. The song Glitter is such a fucking pops.
How's it go song. Again? It's
Bart tells Homer that Ashley Starling is like a whiny pop singer who does songs for whiny girls who like to whine. And she's like, is he singing about tearing your ex's heart apart and turning it into glitter? That's like the whole point of the song. It's a very like Taylor Swift-esque song. It was so close. I wouldn't be surprised if that actually was a song
by
her.
It got me thinking about a very cringy Facebook status I put up.
I love them.
I was like 15 years old,
yeah,
and I was very self-righteous about music. But at that time, I was mainly just listening to like 60s and 70s stuff.
Okay.
And I remember I put up a Facebook status.
Yeah.
And it was Pink Floyd in 1970, and you know the song Time off Dark Side of the Moon?
Of course, yeah.
It was the lyrics to that, which are amazing lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I pasted the lyrics to that, and I was like, Rihanna in 2015, and it was him in anywhere, where, and it was like all of that. And then I remember I put that as my status, and like a few people commented being like, it's not really relevant. and I was like, no, music's so much shitter now. And now I'm looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, but it.
Yeah,
they're complete. You can't compare them.
No, certainly not.
One's like a dance track.
Yeah, different genres and everything,
and like it's meant to be a vibe like that. And then obviously the Pink Floyd track is meant to be sat down.
Yeah, and consumed, yeah. Like really take it in. Yeah, I mean, like you're not wrong in the point, but like it's also kind of an obvious point. But yeah. it is a point that a teenager would make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
I
mean,
and we've all seen disagree that music is worse now. I think it's. You could easily say that, but there's some great music. It's,
100%.
There's no better or worse era of music.
No, there's not. I think the...
People mainly, when they say, oh, this era is better than this one, are just talking about the charts at that time.
Exactly, so... yeah. Yeah, totally. I think a lot of the chart toppers nowadays, in my opinion, is not my type of music, but there's still definitely incredible music being made, incredible artists out there, 100%. But there's definitely... There's a lot more kind of mainstream, like this, like pop song, no real profound message to it going on. Yeah, that's also you made me think of something as well. You said like you're really into 60s and 70s music, and I'm totally not dissing. Obviously, it's an incredible era for music, but there is way too many people that think that they're out there by that being their favorite era of music, liking the Beatles and Bob Dylan and fucking Pink Floyd. It's not out there.
It's not an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, they are amazing artists, but they're also incredibly mainstream. Like, it's
a safe
opinion.
Bear in mind, like, the music from the 60s and 70s, we're talking chart music, all sounded pretty similar. It's all very good.
For sure.
But let's remember, it was mainly one genre.
Yeah, 100%. So. Yeah. There's definitely similar tones to all of them. But yeah, continuing. They end up missing the world record being beat due to all these posters being flashed at them. And they're doing it, like, in sync with the music. And Homer's like, please stop doing this well-planned thing. Bart says that his childhood is officially ruined. And they decide to get a dozen hot dogs and head home. And they see that the hot dogs have all been taken by the girls, and Homer wishes that he had hot dogs stuck in his teeth. And they get approached by Kent Brockman, and Homer repeats the thing that Bart said about her just being a whiny pop star who does whiny songs for girls who like to whine. And Bart immediately disagrees, saying that Ashley's messages relate to today's youth, especially that song about how you're beautiful no matter what you look like. And Homer is convinced that one of the girls bit him, but Bart tells him that he's looking into the eyes of a dead man after insulting Ashley Starling on camera. Then cut to him the next morning, getting into the car. He's trying to take part in a radio contest to win all you can eat bread. Whenever I hear those radio contests, I'm like, who is still doing these?
They do, though.
Of course, crazy. Yeah. Someone's always winning, yeah. Actually, the thing I find the craziest is when you listen to the radio and someone's messaging in requesting a song. You can go on Spotify and listen to that song right now. Yeah, or YouTube. Yeah. You can do it for free.
I know.
You know what I mean? Why would you... Because there's surely a queue
there's
there
kind
as well.
Of fun. There's a bit of fun
I get to the appeal to it too, yeah. Like if you're on a long journey or something.
I only ever hear it when I go back home and I'm like in the car with my mum or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll have the radio on and I'm like, oh my God, they still do these like awards and shows. And
I know. Sometimes they can be cool contests.
Like, oh my god, I've won $5,000.
Literally, yeah. Sometimes they can be cool stuff like that. Like, obviously, that'd be great. But other times, it'll be something stupid like win a month's supply of chocolate Easter eggs. I'm like, why would you bother? You know what I mean?
I have a very lovely like record player set up at home, thanks to my lovely girlfriend. There's like a radio setting on it. And it picks up the weirdest frequencies.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I'm bored, I just go through it and listen to really weird radio stations.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Late at night. It's
That's so cool, yeah. Once you've, like, never heard of or anything.
Yeah, it's just, like, some... Like, a lot of it's, like, foreign music.
Wow.
But it's, like, I get some weird frequencies on there.
That's crazy. I guess if you're in London, too, there's obviously so much different radio stations going on. How far... you probably don't know this. Do you know how far those signals go? Like, from where you are? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I can't... It's a very old, radio system, so I can't imagine it's far.
Sure, yeah. What is the weirdest thing you've stumbled upon doing this?
Well, I stumbled upon... I don't know what language they were speaking, but just two men, like, arguing with each other. Or clearly having, like, a proper debate.
Right.
And then some guy in the middle, like... stopping them from like going too far, but it was in another language, so I didn't know what was going on.
You didn't know what was happening. They were absolutely shouting at each other.
That just made me laugh.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I love that. But yeah, so he's trying to get all you can eat bread, and the signal cuts out and it starts playing Glitter, and then he's trying to change the signals again, but every signal is playing Glitter. And Ashley Starling doll falls onto his car and he crashes and Glitter falls on top of him. He then gets to work. He finds a cake on his work chair. He says his motto is, the worst cake is still cake. And then crows come out of the vet and start attacking him. This is the one detail of, like, their revenge thing that I didn't... How can they control crows?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. I know it's a cartoon. It was like, everything else was, like, consistent. Like, you could do this. Like, you know, playing with radio signals and stuff. But, like, controlling crows.
You know, there's a whole... You know the whole conspiracy about pigeons.
Is the government watching us or something?
Yeah, of course. Watch CCTV.
And yeah. I mean, I'm just seeing pigeons right now. I'm like, oh shit. Or crows even. Yeah. I always think about that too, and like those theories. I'm like, I am not an interesting person to follow. There is nothing. You know what I mean? I see pigeons all the time. If you're monitoring me, you're getting boring results. You're like, he watches The Simpsons way too much. He watches the commentaries too. Like, if you're really making notes about me.
I used to do this when I was young, but I don't know if you did this as well, where you try and act cool because you think someone is like watching you through like your vision.
It's
like some people from school or something, and they're like, oh, what's Dylan up to, and like looking through your eyes. Did you ever get that?
Oh, totally. When you're younger, you're definitely,
and you start like doing stuff really cool, just like
100%. Especially when you're younger, you're definitely more of a narcissist than you.
Yeah,
but then when you get older, you realize that oh, I am so concerned with myself that obviously everybody else is also, so I shouldn't really care that much.
100%.
Yeah, you know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like, nobody is monitoring you as much as you are. Yeah, but Lenny and Carol come in.
You have become the target of a highly organized, newly hormonal fan army. Because of you, I have to wear this t-shirt. In case anyone's wondering, I don't agree with Homer.
You don't know these fan armies. They're all ruthless psychos. Except for the BTS army, who are just and pure of heart.
They go back home. Bart says that if he ever wants to breathe on glittered air again, that he'll have to give in to Ashley's fans. And Homer says it'll be fine. He sneezes out a baby crow feather. And he's like, oh, it's unrelated. We cut to him back at work. He says that he needs the. He's going to a vending machine. He says he needs the comforting burn of flaming hot Oreos. The moment he goes to get them, all the crows come in and attack the vending machine and leave it with nothing but celery sticks. You again, shit like that. It's like, how the hell could they control crows to get every food apart from the one food Homer obviously wouldn't want?
Yeah.
We didn't see girls in cloaks watching over the crows and over the power plant, and one of them removes their cloaks and reveals to be Lisa. It was always the coolest, like most shocking bit of the episode. Like, didn't see
Oh
that
yeah, that
coming.
was like a big reveal because I
Yeah.
think that just it would have been interesting anyway,
Of course.
but the fact that it's now Lisa makes it much more interesting.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if it was Bart, you'd be like,
But
yeah.
also like kind of unexpected for Lisa
That's what I'm
because you'd
saying,
think
yeah.
she'd hate that.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Yeah.
saying. It was a cool
Oh right,
twist, yeah.
okay.
Totally. That's like how obsessed she was with this pop star. But like, if it was Bart, you'd be like, okay, yeah, you wouldn't feel anything because it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's
Whereas.
almost making me feel like they just chose her for convenience because I don't think she'd normally like
Yeah.
that music. But then again, she might be like, power to
Wanting to
female
be
artists
cool
and
and stuff like,
stuff.
yeah, I hear what you're saying, but there was like parts of her character where I wasn't too surprised. And at the end of the day, she is an 8-year-old girl, so she does still have the thing of like wanting to fit
Yeah.
in with people, so there was like that aspect to it. And it is so easy for these people to just get, especially when you're a young child, get swallowed up by like a pop star,
Yeah, I'm
you know.
forgetting she's quite young.
Yeah, I mean, you would, because obviously they do so many storylines where Lisa seems like she should be in her 20s,
Yeah.
but I feel like she was definitely an 8-year-old here in this episode for sure. But yeah, when it comes to them going to the Murmur Nation headquarters, and one of them is saying that they got the doughboy on the ropes, I feel bad for the ropes. And Lisa calls these guys her besties and squeaks at the realization that she never used the plural of bestie before. We then cut back to the house. Homer goes, Marge, you fetched the morning paper? He sees no one's home. He's like, oh, once again, Marge is living the life up at the grocery store. And he goes out to the lawn and sees there's a burger out there. He's like, ooh, lawn burger. And he tries to get it, but there's a rope pulling him away. And he sees like it's like a grub truck. He's like, oh, the mothership. And someone takes him and takes him, kidnaps him basically. And the truck drops him off to a studio and they throw him out. And he's like, I'm still waiting on cheese fries. I just love the idea that he was kidnapped, but he ordered cheese fries.
Yeah.
And it was outraged that they didn't give it to him. He then gets introduced to UN Ambassador Diva, also known as Echo. And she complains to her that he hasn't had a good night's sleep at work in week, or sorry, a good sleep at work in weeks. She reveals to Homer that her and Ashley Starling are longtime enemies that have been doing diss tracks against each other, diss sketches on SNL, and they both diss dated Pete Davidson. She asks him to help him make content against Ashley. He's like, an eye for an eye? Everyone wins! Let's do it! We then cut to Lisa doing something with Pringles. The Pringles say, wider can for plus size hands, and she's like making a glitter bomb out of the Pringles. And the moment I saw that, I was like, why don't they just make those? Like, that was
Yeah.
a joke, but that would be a really good, people would buy that.
Genuinely, yeah.
Because the biggest issue with Pringles is that you struggle to get the last few
Exactly,
every
yeah.
time. Yeah. Bo Burnham has a whole bit about that, and one of my favorite specials ever, Make Happy. It's like he has a whole song about it being like, surely the biggest complaint you guys get are how small the cans are. Just make them wider. It's like such a true point.
I mean, and I I feel for Pringles because I get a lot of complaints about how small I am. And
you're more on Pringles' side here, yeah, yeah, sure.
I have an idea.
It won't fit.
I'm copywriting this right now. This is Sebastian's idea.
Okay.
I don't want to give away my
trademark
name.
That shit, yeah.
But
you don't want to give away your name.
And they must know.
People
I'm easy
know
to find.
Your name's on the podcast.
No, but my surname.
Oh, okay,
I mean,
sure.
You can find me anywhere.
Very easily, yes.
But I have an idea.
Yeah.
Pringles are so expensive anyway, I feel like this wouldn't be much of an addition of an expense for them.
Sure.
Pringles can.
Yeah.
At the bottom, there's a little plastic piece. Okay.
Yeah.
And when you
open
the can...
Oh, I see what you're talking about now, yeah.
You can just push it up and it lifts this little thing underneath the Pringles and just lifts the Pringles up.
Genius! That's a great
idea. That's actually a sick idea.
Yeah,
right?
That's a great idea, yeah. And they're obviously a multi-million, if not billion-dollar company. They could afford that little change that would probably increase their sales.
I understand that they're very, like, well-packaged, so, like, it might ruin the shelf. So why not just have a little bit in the lid where it's in, and then you just put
it
in the little hole?
Yeah, yeah, so they can stand up straight. Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. Like, I have no notes. That should be a thing.
You have no problem putting things in holes. So.
I'm great at it, yeah. I mean, well. I don't know. Debatable. But, yeah, no, great idea. But yeah, Lisa's making the glitter bomb. Bart tells Lisa that he wants in, but Lisa tells him that he doesn't understand the power of weaponizing breakups. And Homer, or Bart shows Lisa a notebook that he's made of ways to screw with Homer. And he wants to bring his wildest prank dreams to life on the grandest scale. Again, I liked the way they brought Lisa and Bart together here. It was a clever way to kind of combine their two motivations here, because... I personally feel like Lisa's motivations made sense, and obviously Bart just wanting to prank Homer makes perfect sense to his character,
yeah.
100%. He introduces her to prank entry 156, the alley oops. They cut to a bowling alley. The whole motivation is to super glue the bowling ball so he gets stuck and goes flying into the gutter. And Homer grabs the bowling ball, and you think he's about to do it, and he goes, "Oh no, my fingers seem to be great at bowling." Then the Echo Fan Army arrive and throw smoke bombs at the actually starting fans. They all run away, but Lisa gives a big speech saying that they have to be brave for Ashley.
We can't back down. Ashley isn't just a singer we like. She's the photo in our locker. She's our one and only Google alert. She's the tattoo I've been designing for when I turn 18. We aren't just fans of Ashley. We are Ashley!
We did get like a montage of them fumigating the house. This was the first detail that of the montage, and I questioned that this immediately because they were fumigating the house against Homer, but that would also affect Lisa and Bart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird one, but I guess Homer's the adult, so he has to be the one to get the Airbnb away from. So I guess it affects him more. It would still affect Lisa and Bart. Yeah. Ashley steal. We cut to Homer stealing an award from Ashley right after she wins, and we cut to a swarm of crows defecating on Homer. This is my favorite part. A swarm of crows defecating on Homer, and he Ralph like makes him into a snowman. And he adds a carrot. Homer just goes, "Ew, carrot." It's so stupid. Great combination of both them being idiots because Ralph thinking that a pile of bird shit is snow and making a snowman, then Homer only being disgusted by the carrot. Very good. We then cut to Kent Brockman. What was that?
Carrot.
I always forget you love the way I say oars, or hate the way I say oars, I'm not
just
sure.
Carrot is
You're intrigued
funny.
By the way I say
carrot.
Oars. Yeah. What was that sentence you got me to say before that you thought was hilarious? It was just like a combination of ar words. Oh, Kevin Hart in a car wearing Carhartt.
Oh, yeah. That's a great sentence.
It is a pretty good one, yeah. Whereas your version would be Kevin Hart in a...
Kevin Hart in a car wearing Carhartt.
It does sound better.
It's boring.
It's boring, but it's boring. Like, it's like posh. Whereas mine is like, Kevin Carhartt.
Think
like I'm having a stroke.
You think I'd be over, like...
I know, we've known each other 2 years now?
We met in late August 2021.
So yeah. Yeah, more than 2 years, yeah. No, 2 years, you're still intrigued by my accent. Hey, I like it. I think it's a fun part of our relationship.
Yeah, I love that Homer, instead of focusing on being absolutely covered in bird shit,
It's like, ew, Carrie. Yeah, just a curse to his character. Just absolutely hating anything nutritious. But yeah, we got the Kent Brockman reporting on the Glitter War. He's interviewing Marge, who says that she likes Ashley Sarian's music and says she really knows which of her exes was bad for her. All of them. And again, a nice way to get Marge involved too, that she's just indifferent. She loves all of them. Again, very accurate to her character. And Kim Brockman goes, there you have it. Ashley Sterling is great, but not as great as BTS and their fan base, who are sane and perfect. And get this smiles at the camera. So good. We then cut to them making slime. Bart and Lisa making slime. They said they made enough slime to fill Homer's toilet and his secret toilet and add in Tabasco toilet paper. And Bart's like, that's messed up, Lisa. She's like, thank you. And Bart says she never thought he could connect with her on such a deep level. And then she gets a phone. Lisa gets a phone call. It's like, okay, you're out of the group. Mackenzie said that you weren't excited enough to meet her dog. And Bart's like, but she named her dog Greg. That's a man's name. And she asks why she didn't stick up for him. Lisa says that she rose before bros. And Bart threatens to tell Dad, but she threatens to tell him about his prank book, and he'd hate to discover that his handsome pills that he's been taking are actually the dog's heartburn medicine. Ashley sends them a dinner invitation and a red dress. Lisa assumes it's for her, but it's revealed to be for Marge because of her praising her on the news. And Marge comes out, he's like, I'm Team Sparrow. He's like, it's Starling. And Bart just goes, as a great man once said, haha. And Homer says that he can't believe that she's having dinner with his nemesis after all the handsome pills that he's taken for her. We cut to Marge wearing the red dress, going outside to a helicopter, getting picked up by Ashley Sterling. She's like, hi Marge, I'm Ashley Sterling. He's like, I know, we hired lookalike for you for Lisa's birthday. You're taller, but she had bigger boobs. And Ashley just looks at the family. He's like, oh, look at your lovely family. Your husband must be so perfect. She's like, oh, far from perfect. I'm like, really? Tell me everything. She loads her up with sparkling whiskey. Ridiculous. We cut to the next morning.
That'd be disgusting.
Could that even work? Could you make... I guess you could make any liquid sparkling. I suppose you could just sparkling. Add
carbonation to it.
Yeah, disgusting. That would be vile, yeah. It would surely take away, like, the heavy kick that you get from whiskey, which is the whole appeal of whiskey.
I hate whiskey, man.
I'm not a fan of whiskey either, but, like, surely that's... I can have a whiskey
Coke if someone gave it to me, but especially on its own.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's fucking vile, man.
I mean, you need to be 40 at least.
Yeah, my worst drunk memories are drinking whiskey. I remember I did this music video, and we had they had like an open bar. That was the only way of payment, was an open bar. All they had, can you imagine how fucking drunk I got? All they had was vodka and whiskey.
What?
They obviously bought in bulk, and it's easier to buy.
And it's like, well, do I either fight someone or get a limp penis? I'm going for the limp penis.
Mate, apparently both. Because I had both. I didn't, you know, the same people were like, okay, I'll just have vodka, I'll just have whiskey. Whereas I was like, hey, the only way...
Vodka and whiskey.
Dude, it was the worst hungover I've been in my whole fucking life. I was throwing up all day. I went to work that day, and they sent me home early. I didn't get in trouble or anything, but I just wasn't... They knew I was hungover. They were just nice and stuck for staff, I guess. Yeah. They sent me home early, being like, we have enough staff, it's okay, don't worry. But they fucking didn't. Like, they were definitely suffering without... But I was so bad that they were actually better off with me not being there.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah, exactly. And conclusion, I mean, there's a longer version of the story, but we don't have time today. Maybe for a different podcast. The conclusion of the story is I went home that night. I had a girlfriend at the time. Thankfully, she wasn't home. I thought I had to fart. Shit came out of my pants.
Horrible.
That's how fucking, like, depleted my body was. You know what I mean? That I couldn't fucking control anything. Man. Yeah, it was bad. It was coming out of all ends. Recommendation, don't fucking drink whiskey or fuck at the same time.
Both are vile drinks.
I mean, I hate both. That definitely... I didn't like it again to begin with, but that definitely cemented me not liking either drink.
I like rum. I like dark or really? Spice rum. I don't like white
much rum.
Rum.
Okay. There's been many occasions where we're like, buddies of mine who work in a bar, I'd be like, oh, I'll get you an old fashioned. It's like trying to seem like cool bar people. And I'll flatter them, and I'll, the moment I have a sip, I'm like, I fucking hate this. Like, no, you gotta sit with it. Like, I don't want to
sit with it.
I didn't like the first taste, yeah. I'm not gonna have the rest of this.
Just make me a fucking mojito.
Yeah, exactly. Just give me a fucking beer. But yeah, no, not a wine fan. But yeah, the next morning, Marge is really hungover from all the sparkling whiskey, and Homer says that no one wants to hear her talk about a vengeful pop diva and asks Lisa to delight them with her stories about how the world is choking on plastic. Bart tells Homer that she planned the attacks on him. Homer's like, but you're the one kid I had on purpose. And she says that Bart helped just because he likes pranking him. And Homer's like, one of my favorite quotes of the episode. Like, you? The person I would most suspect? I never would have seen it coming. But Lisa says that Marge is the biggest betrayer of all and reveals a music video that Ashley Starling just dropped. Great, great music video. One of the highlights of the episode for me. It was called The Way You Was. Great detail. That's the name of the episode from season 2.
The Way We Was.
Oh, yeah, you knew that. Yeah, yeah, very good. Yeah, so that's the reference there, obviously. And the whole video is sort of a recreation of, like, the moment where Homer and Marge realize they love each other at the end of the prom day where Marge picks her up in the car. Great little recreation here. And great, great song, too. I think the best song in the episode.
Fontanelle that never fuse. When I thought that you were perfect, I must have been confused. And it's hard to ignore it when you burp talk in your sleep. Somehow you've got athlete's foot on both of your knees.
Absolutely ridiculous. And the Homer cuts the music video off and he's like, that last one is not true. I hover because I'm afraid of being flushed.
We all sometimes treat ourselves and sit down for number one.
I thought you were going to say we treat ourselves to a stand up for number two. No. Yeah, oh yeah, 100%, yeah. Although I do find, so grotesque in this podcast, I do find that if I sit down for PI and a little bit comes out, and sometimes you might not have time, it's like, oh shit.
Fuck.
Yeah. You want like 10 minutes reserved at least.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Sometimes like, no, I don't have time for this. Not bladder, but
it's why I was a bit late today.
Really?
Yeah, just, you know, when you go to leave and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, the coffee's gone through.
But you just have to go. Like, yeah, no, understood, man.
So people don't want to hear this. I don't know what I'm saying.
Hey, some people out there love to hear this stuff,
also,
man.
You can tell that you had a rough month because you haven't changed the calendar.
Oh, actually, my calendar is broken. If you see the very end, it just won't.
Oh, you did that.
It's so annoying, right? Well, I didn't do that on purpose.
Why did you do that?
Yeah, no, there's been many attempts, but it just won't stick, unfortunately. Maybe I'll do them Saturday, actually. That'll work fine, yeah.
Yeah.
You made me realise that would work, yeah. But yeah, it doesn't make you look like you're mentally fucked when your calendar's...
You know someone's life's fucked when their calendar's not in check.
Your calendar still says August and we're nearly into fucking October.
That's when you know someone's living life on the edge.
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah, Marge is actually starting a scheme because she took the things that she told her in confidence and made it into a bad boyfriend song. But Homer says he's most disappointed in Maggie. And Maggie's like, what the hell? He's like, because evil always triumphs when good babies do nothing. And he storms off. And he goes to Echo and asks if he can get her team to help him make a diss track against his family. But she informs him to be careful because her dermatologist refused to remove a culturally insensitive mole she had. And she made a video against him called Mole Check, Soul Check. And it destroyed him. He says they should make a video about how much the family hurt him instead. Then cut back home, we see that Homer has been gone for 3 days, and Bart is just running the can opener because he always runs for that. But Marge says he's already tried several times, and she says that they'll call the theme park jails tomorrow. That was a fun little detail because there's been many episodes where Homer's wound up in a theme park jail for doing something stupid.
Yeah,
yeah, great little detail. He then returns and he shows them the music video he made. Again, it's fantastic, great experimenting with the animation stuff here, called The Meltdown. And in the song, he sings about the troubles of being up against killer teens, and says he doesn't change his shorts anymore because he's afraid of glitter bombs in his under drawer. As this is happening, he's like jumping from the power plant into the ocean. And great little sort of poetry here, like funny poetry, but also like weirdly profound. He goes,
"Breakfast and betrayal, pancakes bitter in my mouth, yet I ate seven. You set an army against those who are me. You three took, the opposite of four give, yet I forgive."
Like, it's funny, but it's also like kind of poetic. He then is like a separate tribute to every member of the family. Again, it's like well written, like a good music here. He has a tribute to marriage and shows footage of them first like buying the house together. Really sweet. Tribute to Bart saying that he's a brat, but he's cool and to stay in school. And a tribute to Lisa saying that she's his pony, his lampshade girl and white pearls, and says to stop this war that they don't need and to make a grand gesture that they just need to sit down together. And the song stops, and Lisa apologizes for betraying him, and Bart apologizes that Lisa betrayed him, and a glitter bomb attacks him, and they says she can't remember where she put them all, and this should continue for a while. And again, our final little tag before the episode ends. There's this feeling of moments where the family is hugging together before this pan out. The Murmur Nation comes in, they agree to stop terrorizing Homer. And Homer's like, "Oh, my video made you think, huh?" And no, it was super cringe, like watching two teachers make out. He says it was a pleasure doing war with them, and wishes for their psychotic fandoms to continue bringing joy to their otherwise meaningless existence. And great final little bit, Lisa just says it was crazy that she believed in someone so much that she got swallowed up in groupthink. And Marge realizes that they're late for church. And Homer says he'll go grab his crisp dollars for the donation bucket. It was a funny little commentary on how, like, these fandoms are kind of like a religion. And the really, really big fandoms, like BTS, that are obviously ran way more by an organization and executives more so than it is actually about the artists trying to make, you know, inspiring music.
I mean,
they are kind of like a religion because they get people sucked up. And
I can't blame young
of course not
people for
you're encourageable
into it, but it's cult like and it's also like, it's sad that these people they admire are really just
using them,
doing what they're being told to do by the corporation,
by
the record label.
Obviously not every big music artist, but there's definitely a significant amount out there. And it's horrible. I mean, you can get, I personally think I can tell in the music when it's written by a team rather than, like, you know, 100%. Someone's actual unique voice being expressed through the medium of music. So that was a very clever commentary at the end. Final feelings?
I feel like it could have been better.
Yeah, it was a mixed bag for me as well, for sure.
Like, I did not enjoy it. I enjoyed
the exact
episode.
The exact same,
I just think they really could have polished it off a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, there were just missed opportunities for better gags, in my opinion.
Sure.
However, I thought the concept of the episode was really good. I thought the message of the episode was really good.
Lots of good commentaries in there.
I think it's quite an important message. And it's also not biased. It's sort of saying, like, well, look, it's kind of messed up, these cult-like audiences. But also, can you blame people? They're just young. They're just foolish.
Exactly.
You know? I'd be lying if I said I wasn't young and got sucked into something like that, you know.
I was never really big into music people when I was younger, but I'm sure, I guess YouTubers the main thing that I got like really obsessed when I was
like
younger. KSI. Gamers,
like,
I
love KSI.
Mm-hmm, totally.
But however, it was a very good episode regardless. And I thought they made the most of the characters in the episode,
for sure.
It was nice that like every family member had a very important part apart from Maggie.
She's hard to. I think if you can get an episode where Homer, Bart, Lisa, and Marge have a lot to do, that's a winner for me.
And I think it wasn't a bad episode, and I more so like the episode for the message and what they did with the message.
Sure.
And they kept it current.
Yeah.
So it's a good 6.5.
6.5. Sure. Yeah, I gave it a 7. Yeah. And yeah, I would say a good 7, but like it's not deserving of bigger for me. I agree with you. You kind of hit the nail on the head there, really. Of like, I liked a lot of what it was doing, but I feel like it could have done a lot of it better. You know. But I admire that it was really trying to do something very different, especially towards the end, where like, you know, a good portion of this episode is those music videos. Is the Ashley Starling one and then Homer's one at the end. Those are both quite long. But I thought they were the best parts of the episode. Like, they were 100%. So experimental, like, well-written, but still being good music, you know? I really enjoyed that, but yeah, definitely agree with you that it wasn't as good as it could have been. I really admired the episode's efforts and thought it was very unique and very ambitious in everything that it was trying to achieve. I don't know that it achieved everything. Like, perfectly. I just say as well, I thought the episode was a bit too focused in that, like, it was very, like, this plot detail leads to here. Like, nothing unexpected ever happens. It kind of escalates very seamlessly, you know? I don't know, could it maybe a benefit from having a side story? I don't know. Something just to throw the episode off kilter a little bit. Maybe not a side story, there's something else going on, you know?
Do you know what? That's not really something I thought about, but it would have, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was very beat, very simple, you know? Like, have you ever seen the video of how Trey Parker and Matt Stone write South Park?
No.
Great video, it's only like 5 minutes long. But, like, the thing is, they set the plot detail, and the rule is there always has to be a really unexpected thing to happen to throw the plot off kilter. You know, and that's why I ever saw South Park is great, but like most of South Park is great, I think, is because that unexpected thing always happens that throws the episode into an interesting direction. Yeah. You know, and I think there's plenty of Simpsons episodes where that happens. I would say most of the episodes where that happens too. But I thought this episode was very simple in its and how the plot escalated. You know, but anyway, I drill. There's definitely a writing thing that really interests me. I thought it was really cool to see them try something totally different, but it wouldn't be a season highlight for me. But the highlight for me definitely was the family all coming together at the end. I thought that was super sweet, and all their motivations here felt pure and true to who they are.
Yeah,
you know, definitely. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And to be fair, I think it's a testament to this season, because we're towards the end here, so I think this is safe to say that, like, this for me would probably be one of the weaker episodes of the season. But it's not a bad episode at all. No, like, it's certainly not Sarah the Backstage or Meet His Murder from last season. You know what I mean? This would probably be like lower tier for me, but I still think it's a really enjoyable episode. Yeah. You know, so it's just a testament to how great season 3 and 4 has been. Yeah. Anyhow, let's continue into the news.
Dylan Simpson News. Dylan Simpson's News. Dylan Simpson's News.
So, you know, still the show isn't back on. The writer's strike's happening. No one's working. So there hasn't been a lot of news, unfortunately. But always saving me when there's no news is Kraft, instead of making great articles. And this was a really cool and specific one that I liked. And actually, in tandem what I just said about I felt like the episode could have done with a side story, this is a great list. It was just called 8 Times the Side Story Was Better Than the Main Plot. Really cool. I would agree with all of these, but all of them are interesting debates. Because sometimes the side story can be a highlight. Like, sometimes the side story can be more memorable because the side story doesn't have as big a responsibility of having to be this big, heavy plot-driven narrative. Sometimes the plot story or the side story can just be fun and games in the middle of to take you away from a more serious plot, you know? Yeah. So that's the joy of when there's a side story. But the 8 that they mentioned was number 8, Burns' story beats Marge's story in Springfield, which is the episode with the casino.
Yeah.
I wouldn't agree with that one. I love Burns' side story of him like turning into Howard Hughes, being concerned about the germs and everything. I personally would say I prefer Marriage's gambling addiction story.
I couldn't pick.
Yeah. They're both great. And you need them both together to balance out the episode.
Sometimes they're hard to compare as well.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't say it beats it, personally. Number 7, definitely agree with this one. Homer's lobster Pinchy beats Lisa getting an A and Lisa gets an A.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Homer Pinchy?
Yeah.
I mean, that's more memorable in the main plot. It's like exactly. Lisa getting an A because he cheated on an exam, basically, and it's like her being morally challenged. Good episode. I definitely prefer the Pinchy side story. Just so fun, yeah. Number 6, Homer's alter dialer beats Nelson and Lisa dating in Lisa's Date with Density. Fun side story. It's just Homer putting out like a fake auto dialer call around Springfield to like scam people, basically.
See, it's funny, but like that's when it's hard to compare
because it's just
it's
silly.
Very different.
Yeah, it's just silly. Whereas, like,
so I almost disagree.
I disagree. Yeah, it's a fun, silly side story, but like Lisa dating Nelson is a very fun, profound, interesting episode. Seeing those two characters come together who are so different,
yeah,
and how that relationship develops. Fun side story, but no, I would say I prefer the main plot. Definitely agree with this one. This is actually probably the biggest example for me. Is Homer's sugar beats Lisa in Lisa's Rival.
So many Lisas.
I know, yeah. It's so many Lisa versus Homer. I would say definitely. Yeah, do you remember the Homer sugar salesman one?
Yeah.
Because that one is just so ridiculous, but it's so fun. He becomes a sugar salesman, and all these companies are like trying to buy sugar off him, and he just has like a pile in the back garden. It's just so stupid. And he has like that Scarface monologue at the end of Marriage where he's like, first you get the sugar, then you get the powder, then you get the women. He's like losing his mind over the sugar. It's just so dumb. Whereas the Lisa main plot is like, she has this rival who's like just as smart as her. It's very simple, you know. It's fine, but I definitely prefer the Homer side story. The next one is I wouldn't agree with this one either, actually, but a lot of people probably would, is Mr. Sparkle beats the Reverend Lovejoy story in Marriage We Trust.
Mm.
So that's the one where marriage becomes like someone who people talk to in the church, and so he starts to kind of like take Reverend Lovejoy's job away from him, whereas the side story is the Mr. Sparkle thing. That's definitely a lot more famous than the Reverend Lovejoy story, so I totally get why people would prefer it, but I think the Reverend Lovejoy story is more interesting. It's like probably the most profound story he ever had as a character, and I really like him as a character, so I prefer that, but I totally get a lot of people probably do prefer Mr. Sparkle. It's more immediate, you know? I probably would agree with this one. Number three, Homer suing all-you-can-eat buffet beats Bart's story in New Kid on the Block. That's Bart falling in love with his babysitter, whereas the side story is Homer suing all-you-can-eat buffet company because it wasn't all-you-can-eat. That's just such a great...
That is a great one.
Yeah, such a great classic Homer story. Like, so good. Number two. Actually, they're all Homer, which is not surprising. Number two, Homer's vocabulary beats Bart and Milhouse's story and Bart's friend falls in love. They're both pretty good. I'd probably go with the main story. His marriage makes a swear driver Homer stop cursing, and so he starts, like, reading and like watching all these documentaries and stuff to try and get like a better vocabulary. It's a fun side story.
It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I would say I prefer the Bart and Milhouse story. And number one, I would definitely agree with this one, is Homer's grease salesman company beats Lisa in Lard of the Dance.
Yeah, I agree. And
you know that one, yeah, the grease salesman one. So good.
It's just always Lisa.
It's yeah, like it makes sense, I guess, to have like Lisa's stories are always going to be a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to have a Homer story to balance it out, and have Homer's one be absolutely just a silly, fun and games side story. But then, as a result, when the Lisa story is going to be the most serious of all the characters, you're going to prefer the Homer story. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the times, yeah. And that Grease Salesman one is definitely a solid example, yeah. But speaking of Homer and Lisa, Seb's classics.
Went for Lisa's Substitute.
Love this episode.
Honestly, definitely one of my favourites.
Yeah.
After rewatching it.
Fantastic.
A few times. Yeah.
I actually saw this episode very recently, not for Seb's Classics. So I had like a very recent memory of how much I loved it. Is at my uncle's wedding the very next morning. Everyone was super hungover. I stayed at my uncle's house. Everyone was super hungover. It was like 11 a.m. and no one was awake yet. So my uncle still has like network TV, threw on channel 4.
No way.
Saw The Simpsons was playing, Amelia turned that on, and it was Lisa's Substitute.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So cool. A nice little thing to wake up to, super hungover after my uncle's wedding.
Channel 4 just randomly play Simpsons throughout the day now.
I think they played at 6 o'clock on the weekdays, and then on the weekends, it can just be on any random time for some reason. Yeah, yeah. I know they have different licensing rules there, maybe, but it was definitely a great thing to wake up to, just like... Miss a cup of coffee, Lisa's Substitute, wonderful. And obviously I rewatched it again for this.
I don't need to really explain what happens in the episode because everyone's
classic.
Seen it, but it's so heartwarming.
Yeah,
it's also
beautiful.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, there are some very funny moments. It's almost a perfect episode because it has everything you want from The Simpsons in it.
It does,
It
yeah.
has, like, the guest character.
Mm-hmm. And Dustin Hoffman is fantastic.
So good.
One of their best guest stars ever,
yeah.
Mr. Bergstrom, yeah.
It has all the heartwarming moments, the funny moments. It's
yeah.
a perfect plot.
And again, it's the same old side story. It's the side story about running for president kind of balances it out nicely, because that side story is just kind of fun.
And,
you know?
And it got
just
me
silly.
It also got me thinking about the whole Jerkar's Homer thing. Because it's like, well,
this episode's a good example.
This is season two, and he's a jerk.
Yeah,
so,
but he's absolutely redeemed at the
end. I don't
know
where this idea's come from, because he's literally an asshole in this episode.
Yeah, well, you need to put him in that position so that he can redeem himself at the end.
Yeah.
And I think in one of the best finales of the show ever.
Mm.
I've always said that Homer and Lisa's relationship is my favorite relationship on the show, and I think this is one of my favorite, easily top five favorite moments of two of them at the very end there, when it's so sweet how it develops, because what's happening is he gets jealous of Lisa's relationship with Mr. Bergstrom, and I guess he's like trying to be, how can he be more like him almost? So that beautiful moment at the end where he like breaks the dollhouse
and
starts being silly.
It's actually, I just need to be me.
I need to be me to make her love who I am. And it's just such a sweet, beautiful moment, yeah. And when he's talking about, you know, you lost someone you love, and that's hard, and I'm very fortunate that everyone I love is right here on this roof. It's just such a beautiful, it
and,
always makes
and
me
the
cry.
The whole, like, the you are Lisa Simpson note.
It's beautiful,
it's so good, man.
There's some really profound quotes there, yeah. Like, when Miss Hoover comes back, and she's, like, giving out that Mr. Bergstrom didn't teach anything she had on the curriculum. It's like, what did he teach you? And Lisa just goes, how to live.
Mm.
It's like, oh, so beautiful.
It's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely one of, like, the most heartwarming but also sad episodes.
Yeah totally. It's super sad.
It's kind of sad in a good way. It's like,
yeah, it's a good sad.
It's a hopeful sad. It's like, okay, I'm sad you're going, but a lot, you've left a good memory.
Totally. And we can all relate to that. We've all had people who were like in their lives for a short time, and maybe we wish they were around longer, but like they had like a lasting impact on us, you know. Now, my examples that wouldn't be a substitute teacher, but like we can all relate to that, having that those people in our lives, you know.
For sure, yeah.
And yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah, the you are Lisa Simpson moment. It's just, we can all relate to just like needing that reassurance of just like being who you are is enough. It's just such a sweet, beautifully written moment. Yeah, they really weren't afraid to just hit you in the feels there, you know. Like it didn't need. It would have been ruined if there was a joke. It was good to just have that beautiful dramatic moment.
I mean, for me, like, this is one of the rare episodes that I think is a 10.
Yeah.
I
would agree with you.
There is nothing I can critique about this episode.
I don't really either.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a great utilization of Homer and Lisa's characters, who are my top two. Bart has a great side story going on that I think balances it out really nicely. It's just a great, fun little side story. I love the whole thing at the end that, like, he gets so caught up in wanting to become school president against Martin that he forgets to vote himself and realizes nobody else voted, and then Martin wins just by two votes. It's a stupid, fun little side story.
Yeah,
so great. But then you have a nice little moment at the end there to connect that as well, where Homer has a nice moment with Lisa, and then he has a nice little moment with Bart as well, of being like, I mean, would you have made money being a school president? No. Would you have had to do more work? Yes. Let the baby have his ball. Who cares? Like, it's a great little, like, more of like father-son dynamic going on there. Yeah, I agree with you. I give it 10 out of 10 as well. And it's for different reasons why I would usually love a Simpsons episode. It's just a well-written, very human episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that moment between Homer and Lisa there is like one of the most human moments the show has ever had, as well as the train scene at the end. It's definitely one of the best Lisa episodes, and yeah,
100%.
just an absolute classic. Yeah, 10 out of 10, for sure. Yeah, great Simpsons classic. Let's move on to who wrote this episode. So this episode is written by Broti Gupta. Oh, sorry, I should introduce what the segment is. A segment I introduce after the writer's strike, because I just wanted to do a segment that like honored the writers and gave them the proper credit they deserved. So yeah, this episode was written by Broti Gupta. She was born in 1993, so we've spoken about her before. She's the first person on the writing staff ever to have been born after the show was made, which is absolutely wild. Like, 1993, that means the show would have been on its fourth season when she was born. Mental, yeah. But she does a lot of stuff, really cool credits. She's also a writer on the Netflix comedy series Friends from College, which is more of a dramedy. She's written humor articles for McSweeney, The New Yorker, The New York Times, and The Washington Post, which would all be like some of the biggest humor magazines in America. She has a podcast called Lecture Hall, and she performs stand-up comedy around LA. So loads of stuff going on. Now, since she's obviously a super new writer, she doesn't have a whole lot of credits on the show yet, so I can't give her a top three. She's actually only written this in one other episode, which is Heavy as Tortoise, which was the opening of this season. So yeah, a great way to start off your career in the show. Yeah, that you got a great episode, but you also got to open up the season. Personally, I would say I prefer Heavy as Tortoise to this episode.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's more of like a classic Simpsons. Yeah, but still, two episodes she's done so far, really solid. So great stuff. Brody Gupta, yeah. And moving on to the questions. We have three this week, actually. Three this week. Two are kind of stupid. One is a Simpsons-related question.
Let's start with the Simpsons one, then.
Okay. Daily Simpsons History, a great, historical archival Instagram page that we only followed each other pretty recently. Every day they just post up, like, kind of obscure piece of history, and like it won't be like a clip from the show, it'll be like an occasion where they're on the news or like an old commercial featuring the characters.
I like that it's obscure, and I like those every day.
Yeah, it's, yeah, daily Simpsons news.
Much random,
yeah, totally. They put a lot of work into it for sure. And I guess since they're all about Simpsons history, they asked a really cool question. They just wrote favorite season one episode.
Oof.
Pretty cool, yeah. I would have to go, I didn't think about this before podcast. If I had to say what episode I think is like just has the most going on, best written, I would probably say Krusty Gets Busted, which is the first episode of Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. That I'm gonna go for the first episode.
Sure, Sims Rolls on Open Fire.
Just because, and it's not because I think it's the best quotation marks episode of the season. I think it's more that it's
the warm feel it gives you.
Yeah,
since the first episode.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's the most nostalgic episode. I think I've seen it more than any other episode in that season. Yeah.
It does play Christmas time a lot too, which might be a part of this.
So I
think on Sky.
It's that childhood thing attached to it and the nostalgia.
Yeah,
and
I hear you.
Why I really like it. So
yeah,
I'll go for that one.
It is wonderful. Yeah, I totally understand that answer. Yeah, I'd be tossing Crossing Gets Busted and Life in the Fast Lane, which is the one with Chuck.
Would you go for some? Chuck? What about Some Enchanted Evening?
Nah, yeah. I like it, but it definitely suffers from the issues that Matt Groening talks about. That, like, the show hadn't found its voice yet. They had some of those animation issues that they couldn't fix last minute, and it's still good. I like it, but it would probably be low tier in the first season for me personally.
I love you so much,
honey. But yeah, I think Back is Famous or Life in the Fast Lane.
Okay,
I think with Life in the Fast Lane actually. I think that's a great like marriage and homework conflict episode. And like they've done a lot better. We've seen that was the first one, very very strong, like that whole monologue Homer has about the little things marriage does that makes him appreciate her, and he's doing that monologue because he thinks she's going to leave.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. Yeah, I say Life in the Fast Lane, but a very close second, just for like it being like a very hits the beats of the Simpsons episode very well. I would go for Krusty Gets Busted, and obviously very historical, and that's the first episode to feature Sideshow Bob. Yeah, let's go on to, oh no, sorry, we have two more questions because there's the only Simpsons related one. The other two are ridiculous. Ali Gilbert, a comedian friend of mine, very funny lady, goes, is Soul Searching the new phase for shoe shopping? That's a tongue twister. Is Soul Searching the new phase for the new phrase for shoe shopping? Tongue twister and a half.
No. I don't think so.
She means soul searching because the soul of your foot.
Oh. Still no.
I wouldn't say.
I mean,
if you're looking to find yourself,
I don't know how they mean the question, but I'm gonna take it seriously.
I think they're just being stupid. It's not. Yeah, let's take the question very literally. It's not. If you're looking to find yourself, I wouldn't be spending £80 on shoes. Yeah, in Clarks or whatever. Yeah. And final question.
Clarks.
Final question comes from our biggest supporter, Sebastian Sanger.
Oh, you gave away my name.
We always say the name. Tits or ass?
I mean, that's the question of the century.
Question of the century.
It genuinely is. I could talk for hours about this.
Of course, on our different podcast.
Does Sebastian have a tits or ass podcast?
We bring on a guest every week and we really dissect it.
And we review their tits or ass.
Oh, gosh.
That's so horrible.
I'm a man. I can obviously appreciate both, but I have to say I'm more of an ass man.
Same, man.
Yeah, nice. Let's shake hands.
A handshake.
I think it's a good way to end that question.
No, I agree. I think it's actually become... It's. I think it used to be tits, but now arse is getting more and more popular, it seems.
Sure.
I think a lot of people
I think when you're a kid...
Tits are better.
Because they're more of an immediate thing. Yeah. You don't quite understand your sexuality yet, but you're just like, boobs! Yeah. You know what I mean?
Boobs are just there, yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
An ass is like a fine wine.
I mean, boobs don't age as well as an ass as well.
That's true, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, obviously both are great,
but
for me, I can't deny a good
can't
ass.
Can't deny a good ass,
it's
yeah.
It's just unbeatable.
Yeah,
it's,
keep it up, ladies. Yeah. Or men.
Yeah. You know, both is fine. But,
yeah, I can appreciate a good male.
So I'm glad we agree.
Yeah, 100%. No disagreements here. And now moving on to recommendations of the week. Oh, yes, rock.
You forget.
I don't know. I'm always... Here's why. It's because I always win. So I'm just used to me going first. So
I see how
But
it
you
is.
Know I always win. Oh, I don't mean to. It's just what happens.
Well, not this time.
Not this time. Rock, paper, scissors. Hey!
I told you.
Nice. Congratulations.
Usually I go scissors.
Congrats.
I'm going to go for a really good book called Classic Movies Coloring Book. It's
You're just looking at my book drawer, you asshole. That's a mental health thing.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. I have an adult coloring book. I'm not ashamed of that. I'd recommend them, actually.
Yeah,
it would be my recommendation of the week, but adult coloring books are actually really, really
fun.
Soothing. Yeah, no, I'd highly recommend, yeah.
Well, there's a recommendation then.
Yeah,
But love I'm going to go for... Books. I'm pretty sure I haven't recommended it before. I'm on my third rewatch of it. I'm going to recommend Sopranos.
Rewatch, right?
I don't think I've recommended it.
I'm sure you've talked about it on the podcast before, but I don't think you've ever recommended it.
I'm now going to recommend it.
Sure.
For the reason that that is the last of its kind of TV show, where I think with a lot of dramas now, they're very serious.
Yeah.
And also, they don't have that format like they play on TV.
Yeah.
Sopranos is filmed almost like a sitcom. It's not. At all, it's
that's
a serious
I never
show
knew,
with
actually.
Comedic elements, but
yeah, that's something I never knew. I listened to Sam Merle and Mark Norman's podcast. We Might Be Drunk a lot, and they're both huge Soprano fans, and they talk about that too. Like one thing I really appreciate about the Sopranos is that it was never afraid to be funny.
Yeah,
you know, which I did not
serious
know.
Serious moments, it adds a bit of humor, and it's a loss of that format of TV show where it feels like it played on TV.
Yeah, sure.
You haven't seen it, have you?
They're more cinematic now. No, I haven't. It's the main show I get shit for not having seen.
Yeah, it's between that and Breaking Bad for me. My two, like.
Yeah, you said. Yeah, I've seen Breaking Bad.
I'd recommend it. Rest in peace, James Gandolfini.
Of course.
He plays Tony Soprano so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of the best TV show characters of all time.
Yeah.
Just his performance alone is so entertaining. There's just great comedic moments in this show, great serious moments.
Yeah.
It's just start to finish, so solid.
Mm.
And I love the idea of a show about the mafia showing the innocent side to it. Like the fact that the show starts with Tony Soprano going to therapy.
Mm.
Now, what show or movie does a gangster go to a therapist?
Yeah,
you know?
that is an immediately funny idea.
Yeah.
That could be a sketch.
I know.
Yeah.
And so,
don't ask me about my business. Like, that is my job here. That's why you're paying me.
Exactly. I know a lot of people have seen it, but I think a lot of people haven't either.
Yeah.
And if anyone's ever like...
And the older it gets, the less people will have seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think it's everyone should watch that show.
Yeah, I will. I mean, it's high up my watches. I will 100% get to it eventually. It's just one of those shows that... You're going to be with it for a long time. And now when I get into a long drama, I love it. But you do have to be in a particular mood for it, you know? But I will definitely get to it. Have you seen The Many Saints of Newark?
Not yet.
You confuse me, man.
I know, I should have seen it.
Sebastian's favourite shows are The Sopranos and Breaking Bad. He has not seen Many Saints of Newark or Better Call Saul.
I know.
My favourite shows are The Simpsons and Scrubs. If either of those shows made a prequel... I'd be on it immediately.
Yeah. I'm a weird guy.
You couldn't stop me from watching it.
I'm a weird guy. It's almost like I just want to wait for the right moment, but then that moment never comes and I put it off for too long.
Yeah, I mean, Better Call Saul is that same thing with Sopranos, and that is obviously super long and you want to be in a certain mood for it. But I will say, a lot more so than Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is pure serious. Better Call Saul hits on exactly what you just said, that it was like... that has that good mix of comedy and drama going on, because Saul's obviously a much more comedic character. I would say, and I don't know Tony Soprano too well, so maybe I'm talking at my ass here, but I would say Saul Goodman, his arc in Better Call Saul is probably more like Tony Soprano than Walter White's arc is like. Because I feel like Tony Soprano starts off bad. He's already bad. It's not like good guy becomes bad guy like Walter White is. I'm talking out of my ass. I have no idea.
I think he probably is more similar to Saul.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bit different. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I have not seen it. But I just what you said about like the tone of The Sopranos, I definitely think Better Call Saul has that tone going on more than Breaking Bad. Sure. I love Better Call Saul so much. It's one of my favorite shows ever. As is Breaking Bad, but I actually prefer Better Call Saul. I'm a big fan of dramedies. What can I say? Yeah. I think Bob Odenkirk is just sensational in that part. But yes, my first recommendation is Night Shift, Stephen King's short story book that I read recently, and it's made me want to read all of his short story books now because they are fantastic. There is something about, I've read a lot of his novels and they are great, but there is something about being able to tell a really scary story in like very few pages.
It's a skill.
It's, oh my god, and he nails it. Because there's some that are quite long, there's some that are like 30 pages, and there's others that are like less than 10. And like the fact that I could read one story in like one sitting, like maybe a half an hour tops, and be genuinely petrified is a total skill. Yeah, it's amazing.
Honestly,
how he does it.
I might check that out because I love short stories.
Highly recommend. I think it's a good gateway into Stephen King. Like, I understand why people might be put off by some of his novels because they're long and they're, you know, they're a work to get through, whereas like Night Shift is like only 300 pages, like 20 something short stories. And they're all just, like, so tight. I don't think there's a bad one in the bunch.
I think as well, it's a lot more accessible because it's, like, with long books, it's like, okay, I'm going to read some before bed, but where do I stop?
Exactly.
It could be a really long chapter.
Exactly, yeah.
But with that, it's like, okay, one story.
You can read one story in one sitting easily. That's what I love about short story books. You get to take the story in the one go. Cause sometimes, if I'm reading a very chunky book, I might need a little break from it. And then when I get back into it, I'm, like, trying to think about what already happened. You know, whereas the short story is just you get the one story in one sitting. Yeah, fantastic book. Highly recommend. Just so many great short stories. A lot of them have been made into movies. And what was my favorite short story in it? My favorite one is probably this one called Trucks, which is about all these cars coming to life. And I think Stephen King does this amazing way of like making you be afraid of the things that you find that are so normal. You know, like, we see cars all the time, and they're super normal. And this story made me petrified of cars. Like, after reading it, I went outside and was, like, a little bit like, oh, about cars. Just imagine, like, a car coming to life being controlled without a human. Like, he makes that so...
I can't imagine what Pixar's Cars is like.
I was waiting for that joke. He makes it scary, though. He's just such a sensational writer, yeah. Do you have any other recommendations? Do you want anyone?
Not for today.
No, no worries,
I would
yeah.
just recommend if anyone's not had a good Chinese in a while, have a Chinese.
Yeah, yeah. Always gonna treat yourself to just a disgusting Chinese.
Yeah.
Completely agree. My final recommendation, it's probably not in any cinemas anymore, and it really didn't get the love it deserved, I personally feel, is Strays.
Really?
I thought Strays was fantastic.
It looked like a good bit of fun.
It was really fun. I made this complaint a lot, but just how like pure comedy movies don't get made anymore. There is no heart to this film. It is just joke, joke, joke. And you're just laughing at the way I said heart.
Isn't Kevin Hart in it?
No.
No, it's not. It's Will Ferrell.
Jamie Foxx. Yeah.
Oh, he got two black people mixed. I didn't get them mixed up. I just thought
you got to mix up Will Ferrell.
Could easily be a Kevin Hart role.
Yeah, I mean, that part, to be fair, could easily have been. It's just like a very aggressive dog, you know, is always shouting at Will Ferrell's character. I mean, that dynamic's already happened in, what was that movie called again? Get Hard.
A few movies with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, where he's just shouting at him, Will Ferrell's being an idiot, yeah, for sure. But Strays is very, very fun. I think it's definitely a movie that suffered from the strikes, because you wouldn't know those huge actors are in it if not for the fact that they would go around doing talk shows.
Yeah.
But they can't currently, since they're just voices, it doesn't even look like they're there. But yeah, this is a super funny movie. For people who grew up with like talking animal films like I did, like Homeward Bound or like Beverly Hills Chihuahua or Racing Stripes, it's a great, very specific parody of those type of movies.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, it's super, super fun. Just stupid, silly film.
Speaking of Will Ferrell, then, I do have another recommendation.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Check out Will Ferrell's SNL audition.
Oh yeah, amazing. Yeah, like, I've seen that.
It's
yeah,
it's ridiculous, but it's so Will Ferrell.
Absolutely. I just love that he was unafraid to just take such a risk though.
Yeah.
Because I if I was auditioning for one of the biggest shows,
I almost
shows
don't
want to
tell
world,
them what it is in case they
just watch
out.
It. Yeah, just watch yeah. it. I won't say either, but
it's
a auditioning
surprise.
Yeah, if I was auditioning for one of the biggest shows in the world, I would do like my safest material that I know works. But he went in there with the craziest shit.
Yeah.
And as it worked out for me, I ended up being one of the biggest comedy stars in the world.
And it was super accurate.
Oh yeah,
to what he was doing,
to what he would go on to become, exactly. But yeah, it's super fun just seeing like a raw version of Will Ferrell's talent. It's so great. Yeah, yeah. All right, that pretty much sums it all up, really.
Adios, amigos.
Thank you guys for listening. Be back very soon, and thank you for your patience after that long break we took. Yeah. Just sometimes the body gets sick and it's hard to talk.
Go have a Chinese.
Go have a Chinese. We love you guys. Goodbye.